in an interview between Alyssa Nielsen and Sylvia Wilkes. And Sylvia, we were just talking about your children, and we were talking about your son, Robert. He was born in 1951.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith got out of the sanitarium when he was 2.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you waited a while before you had you had Robert.
Well, I lost one. So.
Mm-hmm. You lost one, okay. Mm-hmm. So you had one pregnancy, mm-hmm. you lost that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was interesting because at the time, when I was pregnant here, I went to the doctor because I was having pains, and he thought that it was just kidney trouble. And he sent me home, and then I collapsed. And here I had to, there was no ordinary hospital, there was only the sanatorium. The regular hospital was about 5 miles away, and so at least that. And here, the only hospital was Indian Hospital. And so here they took me there, and it just happened there was a specialist there visiting from Ottawa, and I had two pregnancy, and I don't think I'd been here if he hadn't been there to operate and to save me, like, you know.
Wow.
And it just happened like that, you know. So.
So how many months pregnant were you at that time?
About two, I guess. Maybe not that.
Okay. So you didn't know that you were pregnant?
Yeah, I knew I was pregnant.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't know. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you had a third child.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how many years later?
3 years after that.
Mm-hmm. 3 years after mm-hmm. that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have four children in total, though.
Mm-hmm.
But you're
five in total.
Five in total. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your last one was born quite a bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do you think that there was such a big gap?
I guess thought we would never have any more. And she was just a blessing, because after four boys, you kind of... And I was 40, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
you weren't expecting to have
a
fifth child?
No.
Okay.
So at any rate, so she was a blessing. I know that now. And I lost one, the third one. I lost him here in Victoria to cancer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just one day before his 43rd birthday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, when you thought about having children, did you think this was a good idea, or did you think it was a bad idea? Did the war affect your view of having children?
No.
So we were talking a little bit earlier about you coming to Canada and your family. We talked a little bit about your in-laws. And how do you think that they received you?
Good. I think she was happy to see. In a way, she was. In another way, she'd always been in the bus of the house and been a small house. And she just had two boys, like Jack and his brother. And so... And there wasn't much to do, and so, as far as housework is concerned, it was very plain, like, you know. And so it was just work, really, because everything took longer than it does nowadays, because you wash mostly by hand, or this primitive washing machine, and you cooked everything. There's no, like you do now, go to the stores and buy things. And and what fascinated me, I have to go back on that, because like in England you buy just maybe a couple of pounds of flour in a paper bag, like, you know, but here you buy, there we were buying it by 100 pounds of flour in a cotton sack, and you use the cotton sack afterwards to make tea towels. So all this was eye-opener. You know, as I talk about it, I think about these things.
Yeah,
and sugar too, you bought 100 pounds. Because you preserved so much, like, you know, and you used a lot, and you did all your own baking, you bred everything, you know, So, I mean, it was...
That is different.
Yeah. So, can you imagine 100 pounds of flour?
Yeah, wow. And can you describe your community to me?
very friendly, very nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And were there other war brides in your community?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there was quite a few.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you lived in a small town, so mm-hmm. how many war brides were there?
At least, I would say seven. We kept counting the little farms around, like the one
okay.
some of the girls went to.
So did you feel lonely in these in this community, or did you feel like you had lots of friends with the other war brides?
I don't know why, but I've always been attached to the war brides. Whenever I go anywhere, you look for them. And, of course, now we've got an organization, you kind of get more attached, like, you know. I only had really one real Canadian friend, and that was my husband's best friend's wife. And she was the same age as I was, and we got along wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And with these other war brides, or this Canadian wife,
mm-hmm.
was there, did you share duties with, like, raising your children or housework or anything like that?
No.
Did you help each other?
No, we're too far apart.
Too far apart. So did you feel isolated being far apart from...
No.
No?
No, you're busy, you know, bringing up your family or whatever, working or whatever.
And you mentioned a little bit earlier that the war brides, some of them went to reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well,
what you know of that?
Well, one husband went back in the army, so she was fine. Anderson and Thompson, I think the other one was. She was on the reserve, and she was a nurse, and so she worked at the local hospital. And so they seemed to take it in their stride.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever? Were you ever close with either of these women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did they tell you anything about maybe the culture shock they went through or what
no.
the experience was like
no.
living on a reserve?
Well, maybe some of the Saskatchewan girls now know more about it, but I don't remember.
They didn't seem as if it
we
was...
We moved quite a bit in Saskatchewan, so I kind of lost contact with them.
Okay. So I've heard of a couple war brides over the years that after coming to Canada, they would... leave and go back home. Did you ever know any of these women?
Only one. And I didn't know her in Canada. I just met her overseas, like, you know, in England.
And did she tell you why she left?
No, she didn't. No.
Okay.
I never thought to ask her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe okay. she didn't get along with her husband or something. I don't know. Because
yeah.
he wasn't there.
And did you ever feel like you wanted to leave and go back home?
No.
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 Okay.
No. And no, I never would.
Yeah.
Yeah, Canada, England's changed so much.
Yeah, so the first time you went...
Let's face it, we grew up here. I mean,
yeah.
We were just more or less kids, so I was only 20, you know.
And the first time you went back to England was when?
84, I think.
84. Mm-hmm. So what was that experience like?
Well, that was another story in itself, because I was planning to go over with my daughter, and she was graduating from high school, and I thought before she started university that we would take a trip. And while the planning stage was on at the end of June, my stepfather died, and so I had to go ahead of her. And so then she joined me over there, and... then we were just there a month, and in that month I had to arrange for pack up mother's things and bring her back to Canada. So it was a kind of a turmoil kind of a thing, like, you know. So we did go on one little trip with mother, but she planned something because of you know, being such a turmoil. But being as I brought mother over to Canada, it was a wrong way to go about it, because you're supposed to apply from this side to get immigrants out. And of course I was over there with her, and so we had lots of trips to London and, you know, to try and to Canada House and stuff to try and bring her over.
So,
but she didn't get her immigration papers until she was here, and then we had to go to the Peace Arch, and just a formality to say, how did you come? Well, we went there by car. Well, if you look at it, how did she get from England by car? Like, you know, I mean, it was silly, like, you know, but anyway.
Yeah. And did you have to go through that experience when you came over as a war bride? Did you have to go through any getting your citizenship?
No, because we were told when we married Canadians that we were automatically Canadian, like, you know.
Okay.
And but then it came out, the law changed, and then we, even my in-laws came out in 1918, they had to get citizenship. Even though he was over there and fought for the country, and Jack was over there and fought for the country, he had to too.
Really?
Yes.
So even though you were told that you were Canadian citizens, you weren't, and you had to apply for citizenship.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, how did you feel about that experience?
I thought it was an insult, because, I mean, how can they change laws like that in midstream, like, you know, so...
Yeah.
But they did.
And did you ended up getting your Canadian citizenship? Okay. What did you have to do to get it?
Just apply and fill out some forms, and I think it cost $17, I think.
Okay. And your husband, you said...
He had two, and Keith.
Oh.
Because he was born over there.
Okay.
And the others were right, and... my father-in-law, and...
Your father-in-law had to.
Oh, and my mother-in-law had to, you know.
Wow.
They were insulted too, like, you know.
Yeah. And what year would it have been that you applied for citizenship?
I think it was it 67 or so, it seems to be.
Oh, so you'd been here for almost 20 years.
Yeah. I think it was, I don't know, it was Pearson or Diefenbaker that brought in this law.
Yeah.
That you...
You had to apply for citizenship.
Yeah.
And I guess your in-laws would have been here for about 50 years.
Yeah.
And they had to apply.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, I can imagine that would be a big insult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, we were just talking about you going back to England. Did you feel any connection to England as a birthplace or as your home?
You still call it back home.
Okay.
Yeah, still back home.
But I guess it was a little bit different between 1946.
I wouldn't want to live there, but it's still back up. It's still
1946 when you
still
left.
You're still proud of you, English, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there would have been a lot of changes, though, wouldn't there have been? Okay. Now, when's the first time you saw your family after you came to Canada? Your parents?
When they came out to visit me.
Okay, and when was that?
When did I say? I don't remember.
1950. In the 50s sometime?
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about. Okay, in the 50s. So, they came out to visit you.
Mm-hmm.
And how often did they come to visit you?
They were out about four times, I think.
Four times. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up immigrating to Canada?
No, just my mother.
Just your mother?
My father, stepfather died.
Okay, so he and she ended up immigrating. Mm-hmm. So, did you feel like... you didn't feel like you wanted to go back to England after your mother was here?
No,
that was the extent of your family.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I went back two or three times. Like, the Warbrides went back for celebrations. Like, we were in, for the 50th anniversary, we went over with the Saskatchewan girls, a whole group of us, you know, to celebrate. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when was the first time you were part of, like, a Warbrides organization?
When it started.
When
in
it
Saskatchewan.
Started. Okay, in Saskatchewan. You mentioned that you knew the woman who...
Yeah, Gloria Brock.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, you knew her. And how do you know her?
We had a showers together. Like, we both came to the same little village.
Oh, okay. So you knew her quite well then. Okay, so you were...
And the husbands knew each other, like, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So you were part of this Warbrides Association all the way from when it was...
Mm-hmm.
From its inception.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been... continue to be part of it,
mm-hmm.
even when you moved to Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how has this experience of being a Warbride, how do you think, in your opinion, how do you think it's shaped your life? Do you think it's had any big impact on you?
Yes, we're excited to get together. Like, you know, we get together once a month and have a lunch now. And we have a small one once a month too. And the ones that don't belong to the big organization. And so, no, as I say, most of my friends are Warbrides.
Mm-hmm. And why would you think that the Warbrides Association would have started? Why do you think Gloria would have started the Warbrides Association?
Well, she waited until, I think they waited until our families were a bit large, grown up. And then we had more time, like, you know, and just to keep comradeship, like, together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's friendship and stuff like that. And as I say, we've been on lots of trips together. I've been with some of the Calgary girls and, you know.
Yeah, so it's a sense of community, yeah. I guess, having all been, mm-hmm. as you said, in the
and
same
And I've group. Met a lot from New Brunswick and all down there, because we would go down to Pier 21 when that opened up. That was exciting. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. And do you guys share your stories together when you get together? Do you talk about the experience of being a war bride?
Sometimes, not very often. No. We're Canadians now.
Yeah, of course. So I think those are all the questions that I have to ask you. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Is there anything else about your experience that you think we haven't talked about that you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think we've been through most of it. I'll probably think of things afterwards.
Okay. So Sylvia and I have just been talking after the tape recorder went off about her experience in the war, and we just thought we'd like to add a little bit to this about your experience. So you said that when you were 13 or 14, was it, that war broke out?
I was 13 when war broke out.
13. And then when did you start, when did you start contributing to the war effort?
When I was 17, you had to do war work if you weren't doing it by that time. And at that time, I wanted to go into the Navy, be a Wren. And I'd met my husband when I was 16, and so between him and my mother, they talked me into joining the Land Army, which was good because I was always interested in animals, and so I really enjoyed that. And so I was in the Land Army for nearly 2 years. Because by that time I'd married Jack and had a baby, so I had to get out then. But then I found that it was hard work, but I enjoyed it because of the animal part of it, like, you know. And I just love cows. I don't know why. And I always said that's the only time you had to sit down was when you were milking the cows. So that was, you know, that was my part of the war, like, you know. My husband, being a farmer from a farm family, I think he thought that would be good training when I come to Canada.
Mm-hmm. So could you describe your duties to me?
On the farm?
Mm-hmm.
We had 13 cows to milk night and morning, and call the milk and get it ready to be shipped out. And then there was the regular farming, the grain and the hay to do, you know, during the year, and the thrashing and all that, and regular farm work. And we had pigs and we had chicken to look after.
Sorry, this was during your time in the Land Army?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes regret not being in with other Land Army girls, because some of them were on big farms and they had comradeship, but I was the only Land Army girl at this farm.
Okay.
So, but it was fun.
So why was there this this experience of being a Land Army? Was it because all of the men were going away?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the only thing, Churchill denied us a medal. Everybody else got medals that were in the war, and we didn't get one.
You never got one?
No, he never thought it was that kind of a service that needed a medal, and we were upset about that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The only recognition we got was a release card.
Oh. So could you describe the farm that you were on? Like, who owned the farm?
It was a butcher who lived in a town about, I don't know, a few miles away. And he had this farm, I guess, to raise the meat and stuff for his shop, like, as well as being a business for him. And there was a manager there, and I were the only ones on the farm, like, you know. It wasn't a big farm, but it was. Of course, no farms are that big in England like they are in Canada. But it kept us busy. Mm-hmm.
So you say at 17 that everyone had to contribute in some way, mm-hmm. to the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't in the Land Army, what else would women have done?
Join the forces or munitions, munition factories and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, before this time, was it common for women to work outside of the home?
Not that common, no. No. If you were single, of course, you had to support yourself, but married women didn't work that much.
And how did this change? How did the society feel about women going off to work and working in munitions factories?
You all did your bit. You all did your bit for the war.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't considered, it wasn't looked down on for women
degrading,
to work because they were contributing to the war effort.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you feel about your contribution to the war effort? Were you proud of it, or
mm-hmm.
did you feel...
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, I still regret not being in the Navy.
Yeah, okay. Were there a lot of women in the Navy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever meet women
in the
Navy?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And why didn't you join the Navy?
Because of my husband and... Well, future husband and mother, I guess. They talked me into... And I, as I say, I liked animals, so I thought that was a good thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And did they maybe talk you out of it because of the danger that it would imply?
I don't think so. Maybe they just wanted to keep me at home.
Yeah. And how far away from your parents' home was the farm that you were on?
It was just about a mile and a half, maybe 2 miles. Not that.
So you didn't have to live on the farm then?
No, I lived at home.
You came home every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mum used to, when we were busy in thrashing time and that, Mum would come and help. Even my husband come.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah.
Okay. And how did your mom feel about, I know that you were the only child,
mm-hmm.
so was she okay with you leaving, or did she need you at home?
No, she was fine.
She was okay with you leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did your mother ever, you just talked about her contributing, coming to the farm sometime, but did she ever have was she ever employed as part of the war effort?
Yes, she used to work at the station sorting shells. When the spent shells come back, she'd sort them into the different things. She worked there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for your mother, did she ever talk about it being an empowering experience, her getting out of the house and working outside of the house?
No.
No, it was just something that you had to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in your opinion, how do you think that this would have shaped this generation of women? This experience of being employed in the workforce and, this sense of adventure of going to Canada. How do you think this would have shaped this generation of women?
Well, it's changed things around all together, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, things have really changed. We've got a different way of life out here and, you know.
It just seemed to me that a lot of changes were happening
all over
quite
the world.
Quickly, yeah. Like, as you said, your mother wouldn't have worked outside of the
mm-hmm.
home, and then
mm-hmm.
you at 17 was employed on a farm, and and then, you know, you leaving home, it just seemed like a lot of experience
mm-hmm.
would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this made this generation of women more adventurous or more...
Probably, yeah.
Do you think that they stood up for their equal rights more than...
Yes.
Than the generation
mm-hmm.
before?
Mm-hmm.
And what was your experience with that? Did you ever feel that you being a woman held you back or anything like that?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay.
No. I think, well, there's a will, there's a way to do things.
Mm-hmm. And could you imagine living in your mother's time period where they weren't employed, you were employed in the land army and then employed in the sanitarium in two different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And in comparison to your mother, who was only employed during the war,
mm-hmm.
could you imagine not being employed?
Well, I guess it's a way of life. Life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's changing now. It changes
yeah.
all the time. No, life goes on and it changes each generation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But the war did make a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe to the outlook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Made you more independent and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would. Mm-hmm. And do you think that the women around you were independent as well because of this experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have taken a lot of courage to
yeah.
to have
mm-hmm.
done what
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to add about your experience?
I don't think so. The only thing is, with the we were in line, going back to the war itself, we were in line of London, a direct line from France, and that's where they used to come and drop their bombs. If they didn't want to go all the way to London, they'd drop them around the airway, like, you know. And Mother used to get after me, because we had air raid shelters and stuff. Come and get there. No, I can't. I've got to get up in the morning. And so anyway, she said, well, at least come and get under the stairs. No, if they're going to get me, I'd get me in bed.
Really? And so you weren't scared of the bombings?
No.
No?
No.
And why do you think that, you weren't?
I guess young. Yeah. You know, everybody takes it different. No.
Did it become just a part of your life?
Yes.
Like going to the air raid shelter, because it sounds like you did it quite often.
Yeah, yeah.
Just became a part of everyday life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And your mother, she was more scared than you were, do you think?
I think so, yeah, I think so. More kind of looking out for everybody, you know, the mother instinct, you know, looking after everybody. And we had one of the flightless planes, the doodlebugs, come down, and Spitfires would come and tip them, and here they were like rockets, like, you know, and the Spitfires would come and tip them so they wouldn't get to London and do so much damage. They'd come down in the country, and it hit my grandma's house, and it was about 5 o'clock at night, and I was still on the farm, and here we knew it'd come down close, and here if it hadn't been for the old house she was living in with these solid oak beams, that she would have been killed, because it was 5 o'clock and the family would have been in for supper. And so, but she happened to get under the old oak table, and this beam, as I say, it was solid oak, and that saved her.
Wow.
The house is not there anymore.
And did you know a lot of people that experiences like this happened to? Did you know of people that were being killed by...
My, like, I was taking piano lessons and lived quite opposite my gran, and her house was demolished and she was killed. She was sitting at the piano with a cat on her lap.
Really? And how did that affect your everyday life, knowing that people were being killed by bombs?
As I say again, you're young and you don't think about it. You're not so serious about life as, you know, you're sad at the time, you know, and mad at Hitler,
yeah.
But stupid wars that don't do any good, and they're still going on.
Yeah.
They don't learn anything from them, do they?
No, I don't think so. No. And even though, like, you felt like this war was maybe not doing anything, you still felt like you wanted to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you had to. I mean.
And what about your husband? Were you supported him contributing, being part of the armed forces?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good of them to come over and help.
Yeah. And could you describe that, like, that emotion of, like, was it an emotion of everyone trying to work together against a common goal? Okay. So would you talk about this on a regular basis with people like this?
You wouldn't talk about it, you just get on with things.
Okay. That's all really good. Thank you very much.
You're
welcome.
Is there
anything else that you want to
say? No, I think that's all.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.